Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're in the book of 1 John, the third chapter. And we're going to go back and recap the verses we've seen previously, as always, to set us up for what we're about to see next, right? And in the third chapter of 1 John, in the 14th verse, remember what he said. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. So that's what he's driving home, is that we must love the brethren. If you've truly been saved, you can love the brethren by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the eternal life that is dwelling within you. We love one another that way. It's not something that we have to whip up as some emotional thing. We'll see a little more about that in a moment. He continues in verse 14. He who does not love abides in death. So we see that there's this abiding thing there. John talks about it in his gospel, that we are to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a choice that we have here. We can choose to abide in the Lord or to abide in self. And if we do not love, then we are choosing to abide in that self, which leads to death. Then verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he, now speaking of Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so we looked at that in the last episode. And again, you know, more often than not, most people will sit there, oh, yes, I would gladly lay down my life for one another. Yeah, it's laying down your life, and we're thinking that we will die for somebody in some noble cause. But will we die to self? Now think about that. Will we die to self? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And you say, well, is that what he's talking about? And I think so, because of what we see in verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So he's just giving an example here. If you see a brother, if you have a brother and he has needs, and he has the needs of the world's good, okay, he needs clothing, he needs food, he needs shelter. If he has those needs and you close your heart against him, in other words, you turn against him and you don't meet that need, then how can you say the love of God abides in you? Because it doesn't. So that's what I mean by, are you willing to lay aside yourself, your own desires, to meet the needs of others? Now let's pick it up. Verse 18, the new verse for today. Little children, notice again how John calls them, how he speaks to them. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Oh, me. So in other words, he says, just don't sit there and talk about it. Actually do this. I think I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago that this is really a prevalent problem within the body of Christ, that we will have meeting after meeting. We'll have strategy after strategy of how to, quote, meet needs, unquote, all the while ourselves not meeting anybody's need in any way. We think it has to be an organizational thing. We think it has to be something of a unified body to really count before God. And nothing could be further from the truth. So instead of just speaking in words and speaking with our tongues about the needs or acknowledging the need, then do it. Just do it, folks, okay? But in deed and in truth. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And that doesn't mean that we don't love with word or we don't love with our tongue. No, we do. What he's saying is just don't let it be that the only way you're speaking about it. Do something. Let there be an action with it. And let there be a deed and truth. Well, what is that truth referring to there, I wonder? You know? But in deed and in truth. Yes, we are to speak forth the truth. We are to do things rightly, which is the word means truth, okay? But what it's speaking of is that you're doing it out of the proper motivation. You do it out of the rightness of your heart, okay? Verse 19 gives a little more insight in the next verse. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. Oh, so let me read these two verses together. Watch how they flow. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him. So we will know what our motivation is by what we speak and the deeds that we do. If you're doing it for the adoration and the glory of man and for the praise of man, then you've received your reward, right? Your heart will be revealed what the motivation is. But if you're doing it because of the love that you have for the brethren, then your heart will be assured before Him. He continues on the same sentence, verse 19 again, 19 to 20 are one sentence. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Well, what is this about? What is this about condemning your heart? Well, let me read the next two verses because it's another sentence that deals with this. Then we'll talk about it a little bit. Verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Boy, there's a lot going on right here. So we'll just sort of deal with some big picture kind of things. Okay. What he's saying is this, that sometimes our heart condemns us. The heart, the seat of the emotions, the soul. We are spirit, soul, and body, as the scripture describes us, okay? The body we understand, that's what we live in right now. The spirit is that which is made in the image of God. And yes, throughout the scripture, the spirit and soul are often used synonymously, those terms, and they're used together, and they often appear as one. But there's several places in Scripture that show us, Hebrews is the primary one, where it says the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword, even to the cutting asunder of the spirit, the soul, and the body, even to the ability to divide between those three. And so I think the soul is the picture of our emotionals. Okay, the soul is the seat of the emotions. And sometimes our heart and our emotions condemn us, right? Sometimes we're not sure about our motivation and why we're doing something. And he says this, if you do these deeds, and if you're loving one another, then your heart will be assured before Him. And whenever our heart condemns us, okay, God is greater than our heart. He's greater than that soulish thing that will rise up. He's greater than the lies of the enemy related to such, because He knows all things, okay? And then he says this, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. I think the idea there is what he's talking about next. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. That verse appears in several portions of the scripture in different ways. I think John actually says later that, you know, we ask. Maybe it's Paul, I don't remember. We ask, but we have not received. And the reason we haven't received is because we ask in vain. We're asking for our own personal things. We're asking amiss. We're asking for what we want physically. And I believe what he's saying right here is if our heart is in alignment with God, if we are abiding with Him, and then we're seeking Him, and as we're praying, the praying isn't to clue God thing into things, it's to clue us into things, that our mind comes in proper alignment and focus with the mind of the Lord, and the things that we are asking are the things that the Lord is wanting to do. So in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God because we have the mind of the Lord, we have the heart of the Lord, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why is that? Because what we ask is what He is wanting to grant. That's the principle behind this that you see in all these scripture passages that relate to this. What we're asking is what He is speaking and is what He's wanting to do. Why is that? Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I tell you what, we'll pick this up next time. My time's run out. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you then.